Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm. A comment has come in from Brother Cloyd. He says, Dr. Rosie Milligan and Dr. Umar Johnson speak to how black women have forsaken their community in favor of white feminism. I can't necessarily disagree with that point. I do say that the white feminists reward black women for becoming these compradors, these collaborators. They reward them in ways that unfortunately our economic development has not created rewards that can usurp these outsiders coming in and co-opting our people. If we had just used our own resources appropriately and not fallen for the demonic side of integration, then we could and should and would be rewarding our own people for their good and consistent accomplishments that benefit the group. Right. And when it comes down to, well, democracy is demanding that you allocate the money evenly, then the powers that be set up the endowment, the private foundations to finance these colleges and schools. And so when it comes to a school, and I'm not current with these numbers, but a school like UCLA or USC in Southern California having a $1 billion endowment that was constantly being invested like a sovereign wealth fund, then that college campus could essentially almost function like a nation. Rutgers and others like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will pile on even further what was done to redirect the economic viability of establishment feeding schools versus the HBCUs and other so-called anti-establishment outlets, is that the medical research community in the United States has always had the highest level of medical R&D, targeted these preferred schools for their medical research, and as a consequence of that, inserted billions of dollars over the course of decades into these preferred campuses, where by and large, for the most part, the HBCUs and black colleges, or HBCUs are black colleges, the HBCUs were overlooked when it came to this high level of funding for medical research. We would get low level funding, but that's more like how to get more black people on diabetes and hypertension medications. That's right. That is true. Absolutely true. So let me ask you both, because I'm writing on this right now, how do we restore masculinity to manhood? What does that mean? Now, help me out. I hear people always saying knowledge of self. I got to ask them, what does that mean? You'd earlier mentioned Malcolm X. Malcolm X has famously said, of all of our studies, history is most qualified to reward our research. So I do agree with you. One of the keys to this is rehabilitation of the education of our children. And that's one thing I got to salute Dr. Umar Johnson for, is that he is really strongly focused on the rehabilitation, especially of black boys, through education. And that's quite notable, quite laudable, and he's a good voice to have on point on that issue. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you the same question, Brother Junius. How do we restore masculinity to manhood? I'm asking that of the listening audience as well, in case anybody wants to respond. Make it simple. Let's give us some base rules. Will it be necessary to co-opt, to utilize a broad media communications base towards the same? Since we realize that media and communications communicating the opposition to these ideas of self-defined, sovereign, sustainable development, the media is opposing that and co-opting our people. Is it necessary that one of our early stages be we have to co-opt a significant media base for our communications initiative? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point you make. A couple of comments have come in. Cloyd says, our people have been dumbed down for so long that our people have become sheeple. Sisters and brothers, keep healing, keep teaching, Ashe. Snotball, a.k.a. King Jason in the house, he says, all we need to fix this is a 5-year moratorium on birth control. No pills, abortions, or Plan B. And further, he says, study the Stoic literature and practice the principles. And we're talking about the Stoic literature. That is the life of supreme discipline, the Stoic lifestyle, the Stoic literature. And I think that's a very good point. That's one of the things about being a comedic priest that I try to do my best to live is by absolute discipline. No smoking, no drinking, no ganja, and other stuff that, you know, depletes our reserves of resistance energy. One of the things that I'm going to put on the table, and I'm actually writing about this right now, is that we have to consider that during this time period we're talking about, I would say 4 generations of the steady decline in the male definitive lifestyle, there has also been correspondingly a decline in male sperm count, a loss of testosterone. And I'm writing right now, just as the beginning of this text, it's actually coming out, it's going to be another book. I got so many books on the table simultaneously. What are the signs, causes, symptoms, and treatments for low testosterone? How many ways does this primary male hormone impact our physical well-being, disease resistance, strength, and motivation? Are we witnessing a significant decline of manhood integrity in our modern society? And one of the subchapters of this that I'm putting together is the examination of the impact of excessive feminizing hormones, estrogen hormones, on the male brain structure and function. And boy, oh boy, this is some scandalous research that I'm going to be putting out. It is scandalous research because chicken. Give me some chicken. How you want the chicken? I want it fried. I want the wings. I want chicken. The chicken. And the chicken is, and the turkey and other meats are loaded with exogenous estrogen-mimicking hormones, and this is taking the brother out of the brotherhood. Don't get me started talking about gynecomastia. And it's not just the media. It is 360-degree assaults on the integrity of humanity. And much of that is leading into this gender-neutral zone. Dwyra, you were saying? As they also have ushered in this gross epidemic of cancer. Mm-hmm. And I see them as intertwined, that the gross epidemic of cancer that has taken place in the last two centuries and the decline of male sperm count in Western societies are definitely closely intertwined, interlinked. If we can find one solution to the one, the other is going to be the beneficiary of implementing that solution, chicken. Now, can we engineer the chicken to make men more manly? Yeah, I say skip the chicken, because I almost turned into Dave Chappelle talking about engineer the chicken to be more masculine. Well, then just eat the rooster. Well, I can't attest to exactly that. We recognize cortisol, epinephrine. These are steroidal hormones manufactured by the body, and they have a function within the body. Because our bodies exist in such abnormal environments right now, with stresses that are unnatural stresses, and these stresses taking place all the time, we can understand it's going to throw the whole system off. Now, just this morning, I was actually doing research on what you were talking about, is that the excessive production of stress hormones depletes the base from which these hormones are manufactured. There's a supplement that I take, and it's called bioidentical pregnenolone. Bioidentical pregnenolone is actually made from beets, so it's not extracted from other animals. And this bioidentical pregnenolone is called a hormonal precursor. So essentially, it's food for the hormonal system to manufacture this incredible spectrum of hormones necessary for our bodily functioning. So therefore, based upon those ideas, putting them together, I would say the answer is an affirmative. You pointed out that this is depleting the basis by which the spectrum of hormones necessary for us to completely function adequately in our physiology is able to be sustained. That's right. That's right. All of the energy is being redirected into places where normally we need that energy to function across all of our 17 body systems. Now we have the adrenaline system, and that's what I was reading today. I was studying adrenaline fatigue, and that's exactly both of your points fits into under that category. That's right. That's right. I wrote about that in the book. In my updated version of the book, Mind Control, I added chapter 7, and I wrote about this part of the brain, the medial prefrontal cortex, which is the seat of what we traditionally have known as the quote-unquote third eye, the one that looks over the horizon, that looks beyond the veil and is able to distinctly imagine what lies in this ethereal beyond. This is the medial prefrontal cortex, is the organic part of the brain responsible for that. We have been taught over decades that the pineal gland was the third eye. That's actually not true. It's the medial prefrontal cortex. Good point you make there, brother. Here you go. And this, Mm-hmm. I just want to acknowledge some commentary. Brother William has got his research hat on, and he's putting up some good points. So everyone, if you get a chance, look through the chat. Brother William has a number of good points. Let me just share a couple of them. He writes, testosterone is a sex hormone that plays important roles in the body. Testosterone is a sex hormone that, okay, he repeated himself. Testosterone in men is thought to regulate sex drive, libido, bone mass, fat distribution, muscle mass and strength, and the production of red blood cells and sperm. Small amounts of circulating testosterone, what's called free testosterone, is converted to estradiol, a form of estrogen. Excellent, excellent, excellent points you make, and I do appreciate, love that. One more comment. The Snotball, always with his controversial self. He said, additionally, the rise of slut culture has created a masculine female culture that, again, is nihilistic in nature and degrades cultural taboos that were underpinnings of a disciplined society. Whoa, man. Pull the blade out halfway. Don't plunge it back in again. I can't disagree with any part of that. The word slut culture is not necessarily a term that I would use, but, you know, I can't disagree with someone else's use of language. I would more term it an overly aggressive feminist assault on societal order. Mm-hmm. That's right. You just don't cross it. When you and I were growing up, Brother Junius, was it taboo to curse, for young people to curse in front of elders or adults? Is that happening nowadays? No, they are cursing. Young people are cursing in front of everybody. There's no taboo. It's been eradicated by, I think, the degenerate youth music culture has done a lot to eradicate the taboo on, don't let the elders hear you cuss. I mean, it's not that we didn't cuss. It's that the elders didn't hear us do it. Mm-hmm. Okay, Dwara, are you still there? Yeah, I think he may have muted himself. Let me see if I can hit. No, he's got. It's just not coming in. And I realize it's the top of the hour. We have cut the program down to 1 hour. This 1 hour goes by fast, Brother Junius. Any final thought you want to put on the table as a solution? Mm-hmm. All right. And I'm going to go ahead and close out with a comment and then a response to the comment. Brother Dark Alchemist wrote, the hold over African people in America is so strong. If we emancipated 1,000 African people, 100,000 will remain under their hegemony. And I'm going to respond to that. We begin with the liberation of the young, the clear thinking, as you just said, and those that can further inform, inspire, excite, and liberate the masses. We begin with the tip of the spear. We have to begin somewhere. If 100,000 are left behind, does that mean we don't make any effort to liberate the 1,000? How can we liberate the 100,000 if we haven't already refined our tactics with the 1,000? So never, ever, ever give up. Did you get your final thought in, Brother Junius? All right, I want to thank you all for tuning in. The program is now 1 hour long, so we appreciate, love you. You can always tell your friends to tell their friends. Also, I have enjoyed taking the last couple of weeks off and redirecting my time into a bunch of other activities. I'm going to be sneaking in a few times in the upcoming week to do maybe one morning show and a few short evening shows. So do stay tuned if you haven't already. Hit the subscribe button. Also, if you haven't already, hit the like button for today's video and let the world know that you like what we do here on your favorite. We aim to be your favorite. We are LIB Radio, LIB TV, and livinginblack.com. And on that note, we are out of here for today. Peace and prosperity to each and every one of you.
made of brick thus far above the competition. Can everybody please ladder right, travel, I will people.
Yeah, you had mentioned that you were going to be going to Galilee. I am scheduling a trip to Kenya as part of a mission that this will be my second year of this mission. I call it the East African the Healthcare and Education Ministry, and I will be touching down after the first week of April. Are you going to be in Kigali going into the month of April? Yes. I would love to be able to have my first visit to Rwanda, and I could think of no better location than to be with you. My mission, I think, can overlap. I wasn't going to introduce it to this group until getting more into the momentum of the programs you already have. This particular mission, this will be my second year of it, healthcare and education mission. This time, I'm attempting to raise funds to purchase a small set of portable ultrasound machines to be able to insert into the healthcare facilities there, as we do know that the problem of infant and maternal mortality is still very unreasonably high across the African continent. I'm not a believer in ultrasounds, vanity ultrasounds, the way they're practiced in the West, but we do know that in a situation where we have a high number of high-risk pregnancies, that these could be very useful to the local medical care system. Your response? The machines are generally going to run around $3,000 to $4,000 for portable ultrasound machines. You can get them at lesser price. You can spend a whole lot more of them. But based upon what I've been able to gauge, and these are used refurbished machines, that's a reasonable price to be able to pay for an ultrasound machine. Imagining one machine might literally save dozens of women and their children during the troubled birthing process. Based upon the momentum that I have, I was looking probably at about five, but if they're going to be averaging $3,000, $4,000 or so, perhaps with a group like this, might be more ambitious. Okay, I do have a GoFundMe page. I have been calling it the East African Community Healthcare and Education Mission. So I have no problem at all incorporating that idea into this much greater vision. In fact, one of the components about delivering these machines was to find grad students at some of the colleges there. I have connections at University of Kenya, Nairobi, Jomo Kenyatta University, Idan Kemati University, which is in Yeti, as well as good solid connections at Canada University in Kampala. So I wanted to kind of use this as an opportunity also to ingratiate ourselves closer into university so we can develop other partners. So I really appreciate the way that you worded all of that. I fully want to cooperate with the way this group is already functioning. And also, just as an extension, to address my arrival and presence there in Kigali, we can make it a point to make sure that at least one or more of the machines makes its destination to Kigali as well. Absolutely. We'll contact out, get that off to you. Mm-hmm. And now I have the GoFundMe up in case anybody wanted to see what last year's campaigns were about. We supported school in Inyeri, the Green Gate Youth Academy there, a laptop donation, and we made some other contributions. But it was rather humble because the pandemic and the recession didn't allow us the kind of energy into it. But I do think that we can do better this year. Exactly. Yeah, I'll get that from the chat, and we can be more specific about what laptops are available there and welcome there. Sure do appreciate this opportunity. One of the things I'm very proud of is that I've made 9 trips to the continent, and on 8 of those 9 trips, I've always taken laptops. We get here at much less cost, and they're able to distribute them, to trade them, to invest them. So that's one. That's kind of my thing, taking laps. And for anyone who wants to see what we were able to accomplish last year, and there's even more, we had a wonderful meeting with PLO Lumumba and donated an entire video capture system, a Zoom system for PLO Lumumba with audio, mics, and all kind of things. We had a wonderful series of interviews with the great Professor PLO Lumumba, and have a good permanent connection. I'll give you my schedule as soon as I possibly can.